AccuWeather forecast today, cloudy and windy with occasional rain, high in the neighborhood of 38 degrees. The Mount Pleasant Village Board delayed action last night on a request to rezone property in the Campbellwood subdivision on Highway KR at Old Green Bay Road, that for a proposed senior housing complex. The reason? The request was inadvertently left off the agenda. And because the zoning issue needs to be dealt with first, items that dealt with the conditional use permit and the site plan also had to be deferred. Prior to the vote, a number of people spoke out against that proposed $40 million project. James Germain, president of the Campbellwoods Homeowners Association, said developer Joe Campbell's claim that he can't sell the land for single-family homes is a, quote, smokescreen, unquote, because he said those lots are along Highway KR.
In here 6 or 8 years ago and made the case that he couldn't develop the property a single family, he probably could have made a case. The fact is today he can't make that case. There's less than a year's worth of property, single family lots available, especially in the higher end in Mount Pleasant. The last 2 years set records in new construction. So you can no longer make the case that you can't develop the property a single family.
Lindsay Nell called Campbell Woods a true gem and said that a large housing complex would just not be a good fit.
To place a large senior campus in the middle of the surrounding single-family residential neighborhoods doesn't seem to make much sense. I recognize that there are differing opinions on this issue. However, as the immediate past president of the Campbellwoods Homeowners Association, I am not aware of anyone that lives in the area who is supportive of this project. As members of our village board, that should certainly concern you.
There was action scheduled with a joint meeting of the Village Board and its Development Committee today, but that was postponed until the next regular board meeting. The Racine Public Safety and Licensing Committee, during its 5:30 p.m. meeting at City Hall, going to be learning if the Fasciabella Club at 3422 Douglas Avenue is open for business, or if a motion will be made to go to a due process hearing to revoke that license. The 5:30 p.m. meeting of the Racine Public Works and Services Committee at City Hall will include the formal introduction of streets to be considered this year with public hearings for work to be done in 2018. That would include assessments against affected property owners. The agenda for the 6 p.m. meeting of the Summerstown Board includes the appointment of a supervisor in District 2, listed still on the town website as being Sue Prosco. In Racine County, a homicide charge leveled by the DA's office against the neighbor of a man found dead inside his Indiana Street apartment nearly a year ago.
Michael Hardy had been dead several days when his body was discovered last January 19th. At the time, there was no sign of forced entry to the apartment on the city's southwest side when police were called to check on his welfare. According to court documents, police learned that Hardy had last made contact with the Outreach Food Bank and had been in possession of $10,000. During the investigation, police were told the suspect, 26-year-old Joseph Jackson, produced a large amount of cash later that day and gave some to another man to buy cigarettes. Investigators also learned that Jackson at one time had a small handgun consistent with the weapon used to kill Hardy, but according to social media posts, he had thrown the gun in the lake. Those posts also allegedly showed Jackson counting large sums of cash, some still in bank bands. Jackson was also charged with armed robbery and being a felon in possession of a firearm. He'll return to court for a preliminary hearing on the charges later this month. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
And last week's robbery of the Landmark Credit Union on Rapids Drive in Racine results in charges against 28-year-old Renault Griffin Jr., who was in court. The charge, robbery of a financial institution plus possession of cocaine and bail jumping. According to court documents, a man went into the credit union, pulled some items out of his pocket, said he wanted to make a deposit, then pulled out a gun, demanded money, got away with more than $7,500. Police investigators got a tip it was Griffin who was the holdup man, and since he was on GPS monitoring, they were able to track him to the credit union at the time of the incident, and he was arrested. He'll be back in court later this month. Kenosha Police Chief Daniel Muskinis wants it clear that any disciplinary action against the police officer accused of misconduct in public office and assault while on duty will come at the end of a thorough and fair investigation, and not any faster to meet some meeting deadline. The chief's response was to Alderman Kevin Matheson calling for Officer Kendall West, who's on paid administrative leave right now, to be recommended immediately for termination from the department at the Police and Fire Commission's January 17th meeting. Chief Muskinis says a determination will come after the internal investigation is complete. The owners of a rundown home in the 4700 block of South Loomis Road in the town of Waterford were reportedly burning some materials outside, but in close proximity to the vacant building they have when it caught fire Monday afternoon. It led to a call for extra personnel and fire equipment from neighboring Rochester and Tishigan. Officially, the cause is still under investigation. The owners could be facing a municipal citation based on the outcome. The logistics of Racine Park and Rec staffers putting on the Gus Macker basketball tournament this summer after a year's hiatus, it's something that may be determined by late today. That according to Director Tom Molbeck. He talked to the Finance Committee about marketing and a grant from Real Racine.
The Gus Macker tournament has not been fully approved by our department or the city to run. However, with that in mind, I was advised to apply for this grant to help out with marketing if we do decide to go ahead and confirm bringing the Gus Macker back.
The three-on-three tournament, which had been around for the past few years and included Racine native and NBA star Caron Butler making appearances, was not held last year. The Finance Committee did recommend to the full council that the Real Racine grant be accepted should the program come back. The Pleasant Prairie Plan Commission approving site and operational plans for two new facilities in the village. Daney Enterprises planning to build a new 212,000-square-foot company headquarters and distribution center at Highway 165 and 80th Avenue. It'll be used to consolidate warehousing space from three buildings currently occupied by Daney and Kenosha. Some 55 full-time, 140 part-time employees expected to work there. In addition, Gold Standard Baking Incorporated planning to occupy a 204,000-square-foot building at 10490 88th Avenue. Company, headquartered in the Chicago area, going to use the Pleasant Prairie building for an expansion of production. Racine Budget Director Mark Duff talking to the Board of Education last night about the possibility of starting with a $6 million structural deficit for the 2017-18 term, based on how the schedule works out with the governor's new budget plan, the normal wait on state information to plug into the formula, and just general criteria changes the district will have to endure. Duff mentioning a federal budget change will eliminate grant funding for Knapp and Goodland as priority schools. He also said the district might not benefit from state-allowed adjustments for the revenue limit per pupil and per pupil categorical aids.
Because we're declining enrollment, and all that increase will do is... wash it out. That's perfect. If the state decides to add funds to the per pupil categorical aid, we would see, like if they add $100 per pupil, we would get almost $2 million in per pupil categorical aid. So there's an automatic difference. Either we get zero or $2 million.
On the expense side, Duff noted compensation increases will also factor into the state equation.
The state has this system where you provide a consumer price index increase in compensation for staff. Right now it's running at about 1.15%. We're not sure what the final number will be, but that would generate about a $1.5 million cost. Then we also have steps and levels. So if we did steps and levels, that would be about $2.8 million. So right away, if we did steps and levels and CPI, that's $4.3 million.
For potential cost reductions, he listed closure of the Racine Civil Leaders Academy School, retirements and staff adjustments, and a projection of maybe 300 fewer students. A preliminary budget for 2017-18 has to be approved for this summer. That will carry forward and be adjusted with updated information toward a final vote this fall. Burlington's RDAG Group is a glass bottle maker at 815 McHenry Street, got a new business partner, Nuglaris Brewing Company. The bottles for Nuglaris products are now be coming out of the Burlington factory. Nuglaris Company President Deb Carey, who's on their website video promoting the homespun company, says they decided in part to shift away from their Virginia bottle supplier because, well, it works out better for them, and it puts that part of the business to work in Wisconsin.
What sets us apart from other breweries, I think, is our integrity and transparency.
RDAG Group North America Glass Division President John Reardon says that this arrangement will also add roughly 42 million bottles a year to the production total. The bottle maker has about 400 employees. The Mount Pleasant Village Board last night approved a new assessment ordinance, but it was stressed that the vote is only a start to the process of changing how the village begins to charge residents for infrastructure improvements. Attorney on the case, Alan Markovitz, telling board members the new policy makes it clear that when a property owner will be assessed for the improvements, such as when you got streets and water lines.
What will happen under this policy in the future is if and when somebody connects to something, they will pay a connection charge to the village, and the village will recoup costs that way. But there won't be a special assessment that has to be dealt with before that time.
He said deferred assessments have been a really bad experience for the village, some currently on the books that go back more than 30 years, so a connection fee is included. Trustee Gary Fee supporting the new ordinance, but he noted there's still a lot of work that has to be done.
The glaring elephant would be the connection charges and how we would set that up. But you have to have what you call, the initial rules of the game to be able to go into that. And this particular policy that we are considering tonight, this ordinance, it really does tend to mirror the existing one we had almost verbatim.
Trustee Kenneth Twoska called the ordinance yet another tool.
I'm comfortable with it. It's just another tool. It's there wasn't much change that I could see anyway. I said it's just giving us a little something different. Times are changing. One size doesn't fit all, and there's always this little possibility we could always use it when we need it.
Attorney Markovitz urged the board to hold an informational meeting so that the residents would have a chance to ask their questions, get them answered about the ordinance. It's expected that will be scheduled within the next few weeks. The agenda for tonight's 5:30 p.m. meeting of the Summers Village Board includes a proposed resolution that urges the governor to approve the UW System's 2017-18 biennial budget request as presented. The request coming from officials at UW Parkside who've been attending local government meetings in Kenosha and Racine counties, seeking the same kind of support for the same resolution. Governor Walker presenting his budget message this afternoon. It's taken almost a year, and Kenosha police now say that a woman found dead in an alley for the 1300 block of 31st Street died from a drug overdose, but her death occurred somewhere else. A news release identifies 34-year-old Kenosha resident Rhea Gatone. She had consumed heroin and died at an undisclosed city residence in January of 2016. Police indicate the victim's body was moved from the overdose site and then left in the alley. Facing a felony charge of hiding a corpse plus obstructing is 62-year-old Kenosha resident Thomas Rutschick. One of three men accused of trying to scam a Racine business owner gets sentenced to a year in the Racine County Jail by Judge Faye Flancher. 33-year-old Salomon Billity of Chester, Pennsylvania, pleading no contest to uttering a forgery. He and two other men accused of ordering thousands of dollars worth of furniture from a store on Washington Avenue and then promising to return the next day with cash. They did, but told the owner that because the money had come from Africa, it was covered with a black coating and that it could be removed with a certain chemical. That's when the owner got suspicious and called police, setting up a sting which led to the arrests. Racine's Redevelopment Authority supporting an $81,000 economic incentive from TID District 19 to help the folks behind Culinary Infusion. That's at 2219 Washington Avenue. It's the former Our Savior's Church. The help is with higher-than-expected renovation costs for that historic site and turning it into a wedding, banquet, and meeting facility. Laura Million with RCEDC said that the money will cover a little financial gap between the cost of renovation and the anticipated assessment on the property.
The mansion, they're working on renovating it so that they can get tax credits from the National Register of Historic Places. And they've already booked 12 weddings and three other events at the site, and it sounds like they've been busy as well. Other people coming through the facility too.
Keith Meyer noted they did give five tours of the site this past Saturday, including from Chicago and Milwaukee, and in general said the project's been received quite well.
When you compare what you pay for a wedding in Chicago or Milwaukee, people are looking for something. It's a value. We have taken the mansion almost back to its original state. Crown molding, medallions, corbels are put up, so we're excited about the project. Unfortunately, one of those things, when you get the appraisal done, it didn't come in where we were at, not close to where we were at, and caused some frustration, and that's why we came and trying to come up with some options.
The plan is to have that facility open for business by late March or April, since they got three weddings already scheduled in May out of a dozen on the calendar so far this year. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.